Today we're going to be going into the space which is so challenging right now across our entire society, and it's to do with COVID-19 and vaccination. I'm going to bring some biblical reflections into this zone, reflections on our attitudes towards one another. Now, if you've got your Bible with you, I want you to go to Romans chapter 14. We read these words in Romans chapter 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this: accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes that it's right to eat anything, and another believer with a sensitive conscience only eats vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Now, the context of what's taking place here is that meat that was being sold in the marketplace had already been offered to idols. And so as part of pagan rituals, the meat was being sacrificed. And once it hit the marketplace, some Christians had a conscience about purchasing it and eating it. Some of them had a conscience because they thought of maybe spiritual implications of eating that meat. Other people had a conscience because they thought by virtue of buying that meat, they were lending some type of economic support to that whole industry. And so they were saying, we're just not going to have it. Other Christians were simply saying, it's just meat. Now, the interesting thing from that text, it describes those who are more scrupulous as weak in their faith. So in other words, the ones who had a tighter grid and who were saying, no, we mustn't eat that, Paul describes them in verse 1 as those who are weak in their faith. And those who said it's just meat were described as stronger in their faith. Now, he takes that same principle and he applies it to different days. But what he's establishing really in this passage is our attitudes towards one another. Now, the principle that he's establishing is that we must hold our personal convictions with a non-presumption of superiority to those who've landed with a divergent conclusion from ourselves. So those who decided not to eat meat should not presume that they have a superior position than those who've chosen to eat it, and vice versa. Those who've chosen to eat meat from those sold in those marketplaces shouldn't presume that they have a superior position or look down on others. Now, I want to read Romans 14, verse 3. I'm going to take out the issue of eating meat or not eating meat, and I'm going to drop in vaccination. Let me read the text to you. It says this: those who feel free to be vaccinated must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't want to be vaccinated must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Wow. All of a sudden it becomes very contemporary, doesn't it? Look at verse 6. It says, those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Now, okay, let's again drop out the issue of food or days. Let's drop in the issue of vaccination. Let's read Romans 14:6, where it says this: those who get vaccinated do it to honor the Lord. Those who refuse to get vaccinated also want to please the Lord, and they give thanks to God. So Christians do what they do to honor the Lord. Christians want to please God with sort of actions that they're taking, the decisions that they're making. So the passage goes on now, and it establishes our attitudes to one another, and it also establishes that the issue is not a right or wrong issue, but rather to do with personal conviction from individuals. Verse 10. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Verses 12 and 13, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. Now, in this broader community debate that's happening right now, this is not an exclusive debate happening inside the Christian community, of course. It's a much bigger and broader community debate that's taking place. But let's talk about it inside the Christian community. I have seen people judging one another from both directions. So those who have a conviction that really in their own hearts, they are, as a person, they are highly vaccine hesitant, or they've decided they're definitely not going to be vaccinated, and they've got access to information online, and they have drawn the conclusion that those who've chosen to be vaccinated are either unspiritual or ignorant. In other words, if they knew what this person knows, they also wouldn't have got vaccinated. But because they did, they're just like sheep being led astray. They're being misinformed by a media that can't be trusted. They feel like they're being misinformed and manipulated by the government. And if other people knew what this person knew, then they also wouldn't have been vaccinated. So they feel that their position is the true position and the superior position, and they reflect that on the broader community, even imputing that they are not very spiritual or that they are ignorant with regards to what they've done. Okay, now let me spin it around, because it happens in reverse. There are other Christians who have concluded what we're facing right now with the global pandemic is a medical issue. There is a virus that's sweeping the world called COVID-19, and that there is a response to it, which is a vaccination, that they have concluded is safe. Now, it's fair to say that is the majority position globally of independent scientific and medical bodies, that this thing actually is safe. And it looks like vaccination in Australia will probably push above 90%. So it's safe to say this is the majority position. Now, while it's a majority position, it doesn't mean it's right. I'm simply acknowledging it's a majority position. But here's the error that some Christians make. They say because they are sitting with a majority position that they are quite convinced of, they then start to look down on their Christian brothers and sisters who are vaccine hesitant or who are vaccine resistant or overtly against. They then say to themselves, what's wrong with these people? Are they ignorant or are they unspiritual because they're being so resistant? And you see how we impute things on one another. I see it happening in both directions. Now, let me do the reveal. I've said it before. I want to say it again. I have chosen to be vaccinated, as has my wife, Edie, as have my parents and all four of my children and their partners. My personal conviction is that what we're facing right now is a medical issue. I don't believe that the primary issue we're facing right now is a spiritual issue. It is spinning off all sorts of spiritual, sociological, economic, and governmental issues. And I have lots of thoughts about the way the government is approaching it, sometimes supportive, sometimes in opposition to different things that are happening in different states. And I look with interest at other countries and how they're handling these things. But what I note is, from the Bible, from this passage, it is not for me to presume that I'm holding a superior position. Romans 14:14 puts it this way, I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person, it's wrong. Okay, let's drop out the language of food. Let's drop in the language of vaccination. Romans 14:14. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no vaccination in and of itself is wrong to have. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person, it's wrong. Now, do you see the way that the Bible treats these matters? These are described as disputable matters. People would love to think that something is right or wrong in and of itself. But what the Bible does here, it says it's based on an individual's conviction. For one person, their conviction is that they can and it's right. For one person, their conviction is they can't and that's right. Verse 23 puts it this way. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, okay, or be vaccinated, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. And if you're not following your convictions, if you do anything you believe is not right, it says you are sinning. So here's the principle. In disputable matters, it's your personal conviction that determines what is right or wrong for you. And according to your convictions, you must act, and according to your convictions and actions, you also must face the consequences. Romans 14:17 condenses it into this principle, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. Or can I say, the kingdom of God is not a matter of whether you're vaccinated or whether you're not vaccinated, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Let me read it again. Don't tear apart the work of God over whether a person is vaccinated or not vaccinated. How wrong would that be? Now, the Apostle Paul takes the same principles. He rolls them over into chapter 15. Listen to verse 5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that you will give glory to God. Now, with this whole issue of vaccination, it's so hot in society right now, and some of the societal angst is flowing into our relationships in the church. So I want to just speak really candidly and directly to a few matters right now. Firstly, and you must have heard this as well, I've certainly heard this, some people suggesting, some Christian people suggesting, that vaccination is the mark of the beast. Well, can I just say, candidly and directly, that is in error. How can I be so candid and direct about saying that's an error? You'll read about the mark of the beast in in Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 to 18. If you read that little piece of text where it speaks directly about the mark of the beast, it speaks about this image being set up and people being called to reject God and to worship the image of a beast. And if they won't worship that image, they carry the death penalty. That they'll have a mark put on their forehead or on their wrist, and without that mark, they will not be able to buy or sell. Well, I'm not aware of anyone who has the death penalty that's sitting upon them. I'm not aware of any Christian, certainly, can I say, as a lover and follower of Jesus who's chosen to be vaccinated. I haven't turned away from my faith in Jesus at all. No one's threatening the death penalty on me as to whether there's nothing to do with worshipping a beast. I have no mark on my forehead or on my wrist. And can I say, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you can still buy or sell. So it's got nothing to do with the mark of the beast. I completely reject that type of thinking. Here's what I expect is going to happen in Australian society. I'm currently living in Victoria. Every state will open things up according to their own chief medical health officers and according to their premiers. But here's my anticipation of what's going to happen. We're going to enter into a period as we hit the 70 and 80% fully vaccinated rates in Victoria, we'll increasingly begin to open as a state. But we'll open as a two-speed environment. There's going to be greater liberties that have been declared for those who are vaccinated initially, and then those who are not vaccinated will follow a little bit further back. If you really want to understand what's happening, the one piece that the government will keep its eye on is the healthcare sector. Can the healthcare sector cope? So as we increasingly release things, the full expectation is we'll see a fresh wave of COVID-19 infections, probably at a higher level than we've seen to date. Numbers even for Victoria of 4,000 or 4,500 new infections daily as we open up. And then the government will keep its eye on the healthcare sector. Is it coping? If it looks like it's not coping, we'll tighten up our restrictions or hold. And if it is coping, we'll increasingly open. Nation after nation that's walked that pathway moves to a point of being a fully open society where COVID-19 is endemic in the system. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's probably going to be one of the most challenging 4 to 6 month periods than we'll ever have experienced before. And it does affect us as a church. Now, one of the things I'd also like to put on the table, our engagement with the government around all of this as a Christian community, from my understanding, this is not a matter for civil disobedience. Now, the Bible does teach about civil disobedience. If the state is ever commanding you to break God's law, it's a point of civil disobedience. So when the Hebrew midwives in Egypt, you can read about this in the early chapters of Exodus, were commanded to kill the Hebrew baby boys, they did civil disobedience and they lied about it. And God was pleased with them for their civil disobedience because to obey the state was to disobey God. They would have had to have broken God's laws to obey the state. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with a big golden statue, and they refused to bow down and worship because they believed they would have been breaking the commands of God. It's like Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 and 4, where ultimately they were commanded to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and they simply responded, whether it's right for us to obey God or to obey man, you decide. And they went out and they obeyed God and effectively disobeyed the state by doing that. So there are times when Christians are encouraged to do civil disobedience when the state is encouraging them to break the law of God. Now, with regard to vaccination and COVID-19 and the reopening of the state, I do not believe that this is a civil disobedience issue. We're not being commanded to break the law of God. We are being commanded as a society to seek to reintegrate and slowly open up in a way that the health sector is able to cope with it. Now, the chief health officer is given additional powers to stop the spread of disease when it's declared a state of emergency. And that's exactly what's taken place in Victoria right now. That state of emergency and the sort of additional authority that's given to the state at such a time has repeatedly been challenged in courts, and every challenge has failed. Now, please hear me clearly on this. It's not that I am promoting some of the stances that the government has taken. For example, Dan Andrews just 1 week ago declared how many sectors of society had mandatory vaccination. Now, I can understand why in aged care or in the health sector, one might need to mandate vaccination because of the very nature of the work. Personally, it's my conviction that for multiple sectors, it would have been fine to have simply had a negative COVID test or a rapid test, triple antigen test that could be done rapidly. So rather than, let's use the educational sector as an example, rather than forcing all teachers to be vaccinated, why couldn't a teacher have simply demonstrated proof of being a COVID negative? It kind of baffles me a little bit that someone who could potentially be the best teacher in the school with 25 years experience, but because of their personal convictions about vaccination, they now will lose their job. They will be excluded from the sector. And in as much as we're going to be moving to a fully integrated society where COVID is endemic, I think that's a very harsh ruling by the state, but that is the state's prerogative. There is actually a teacher or a couple of teachers who are taking it to the Supreme Court right now to get a ruling. But as I've already noted, every other challenge to those types of rulings has failed. Now, I was in a gathering with senior pastors just recently, about 25 of us in the room, in a Zoom room, and one of the pastors simply put it like this. He said, "We are not going to stop anyone from coming to worship. You know, Jesus welcomed everybody. It seems really gracious. Crumbs isn't one of Crossway's values. Come as you are. Anyone can experience authentic community." And I've had people saying to me, "Dale, how is Crossway going to live out value number two, the come as you are value?" So he said, "We're not going to turn anyone away." I unmuted myself and I said, "Okay, you've taken a position at one end. Think of it as a seesaw. You're sitting on one end of the seesaw. Let me now put some weight on the other end of the seesaw. So people do come to your church and choose to worship with you because they believe that the pastor has encouraged them. Come, come everyone." I said, "That's a civil disobedience position that you're adopting right now. And so let's think about that single mum who's maybe doing life tough financially. And she chooses to come at your encouragement, but you get raided on that week and she receives a $5,450 fine. She's not very happy with you right now. In fact, anyone who was there would receive that fine. And the church as an institution, that particular church, would also receive a fine. Well, the next Sunday is only 7 days away. So are you going to do it again? If you do it a second week, those who are present and are not vaccinated will get fined a second time. And if you do it a third week, you as the pastor will be incarcerated." So it's got a short shelf life on it to walk that way. But that's only the financial edge. Let's go back to that single mum who's not vaccinated. Let's just say someone came who was COVID positive and she catches it. Or maybe she doesn't need to be hospitalized, but she might get a long form of COVID, which might mean that she really struggles to work 6, 9, or 12 months. Well, she's not going to be feeling very happy with you right now, let alone the vulnerable person who came because they were believing the pastor would create a safe environment, and they're the person who's now in hospital. They may be in intensive care or maybe ventilated. And so you weren't really being thoughtful for the most vulnerable, let alone the fact now you've brought shame on the gospel and shame on your church because the TV stations are now doing articles on you. You are the person who said, we're just going to ignore social standards right now, and you've become a hotspot and caused an outbreak, so people are suffering all over the place. You've brought shame to the gospel if you've done it 3 weeks in a row or thereabouts. And this is not theory. This already happened out in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. That's exactly what took place. I said, that's the weight that's sitting at the other end of the seesaw. So from a Crossway perspective, we don't believe this is a matter for civil disobedience. So what are some of the core principles here? Core principle number one, liberty of conscience. Every individual has the right to choose with regards to their own body whether they'll be vaccinated or whether or not they will be, or whether they will not be vaccinated. Now, can I say to the Christian community, we need to be really thoughtful about the most vulnerable who are amongst us, because if we choose not to be vaccinated, and I say simply scientifically and medically, we are a greater risk to those who are vulnerable, who have immunosuppressed systems because of various conditions and who cannot be vaccinated. We are a higher risk to them at that point. Principle number two, mutual respect. Mutual respect. Don't presume that your position is the superior position. That's just not thoughtful. People that I know, that I love and I respect, they're intelligent, they are spiritually mature, have drawn divergent conclusions from me. And I grace them with mutual respect. It's their prerogative to make that decision. Third principle, personal consequence and collective consequence. So the personal consequence for those who are vaccine hesitant or have chosen definitely not to be, it's your liberty, but you must be prepared to carry your consequence. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow when the government is being as hardline as it is, but there is personal consequence. So society will open more slowly for you. Initially, you won't be able to fly. Initially, you won't be able to be seated in a restaurant. There'll be opportunity to gather outdoors, and I'm going to be speaking about that just shortly. But it's not just you, your personal consequence. There is a collective consequence. And part of the collective consequence is that you are a greater risk to those who are around you. Think of the vulnerable person. And at Crossway, we do have some people who are vulnerable. So some people have said, okay, Dale, how are we going to live out our come-as-you-are value? Anyone can experience an authentic community or our value. Everyone gets to play. It's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. How are we going to live that out? Well, let me tell you how we're going to live it out. And I'm very happy to announce today and to give us a very clear guidance on what the rules are and how we're going to live it out. Everybody is going to be called to gather together for worship when our society hits 80% fully vaccinated. Here's how that rule applies. With an undesignated vaccine status, groups of 20 can gather outdoors for worship at a one person for every 4 square meters. That is the law as it currently stands. That's the declared position of the state. So all of Crossway is going to be invited, where there's no reference whatsoever to your vaccine status, to gather together to worship in groups of 20. It will be decentralized. We'll drive it primarily through our life groups. If you're part of a life group, speak to your life group leader. You will be invited. If you are inclined, you'll be invited to gather together outdoors anywhere. I don't believe that's going to be outdoors at your home, but you'll be able to go to any public place, Gels Park, your local playground, anywhere, of a group up to 20 people with no reference to vaccination status whatsoever. All of Crossway will be invited to gather like that. Now, additionally, there are two other spaces. There is the option of people who are vaccinated indoors, 150 people at one person for every 4 square meters. Well, our main facility, once we hit that state, will be used exclusively for children's ministry. So when we get together and worship, and I believe we'll be doing it on a Saturday night at 5 and a Sunday morning at 10:15, likely sometime in November, probably mid-November, when the children's ministry, 150 children, will be able to be here at the facility. How can that happen? Well, it's because there's an additional space that's been provided. The governor's saying we can have 500 worshippers who are fully vaccinated outdoors at one person for every 4 square meters. So here's what we're going to do. here at Crossway, we're going to activate the lawn area on the south side of the Life Care Centre. We're going to be installing a digital screen and sound down there. And while worship will happen in the main auditorium and will be streamed down there is where the host and the preacher will be with a gathering of up to 500 people. And we'll bring in a coffee cart and food cart and things like that and toilets all down there. So there's the opportunities that are about to be presented to us. All of Crossway will have the opportunity to gather where there's no reference to vaccine status in groups of 20 outdoors with a 4 square metre social distancing. So that's an offer to everybody. 150 people will be able to be indoors. This is mid-November when we hit 80%. We're going to use that for children. And then we're going to be able to do a gathering of 500 people who are fully vaccinated. And we're going to activate the lawn outside the Life Care Centre. That means everyone is restricted. Everyone is restricted to a degree, but everyone gets to play. It's a come as you are environment. Now, this is us as a state taking our first step to opening up as we hit that 80% fully vaccinated situation. Now, some of you have a profound sense of distrust of the media and the government, and you're still feeling hesitant. So we're going to be doing a webinar this Tuesday night at 7:30 with Crossway medically trained specialists, three of them, and then one other medically trained person who's the chief medical officer of the St. Vincent's Group, Owen Lowe. He will also join us. He's a committed follower of Jesus. He's an elder in his church as well. And I will be there too. And we will present 5 minutes each so you can hear it from people who love Jesus. And then we'll, in real time, take questions that we can respond to. So it's this Tuesday night. You'll find the details of that on the website. So everybody, this portion of teaching from God's Word today from Romans chapter 14 and 15 simply encourages us to have a loving disposition towards one another, to be lovingly respectful of one another, not to be looking down on one another, realizing the kingdom of God is far more significant than whether a person is vaccinated or not vaccinated. So let's be sure that we don't destroy the work of God because of our strong opinions, either for or against, because people are feeling pretty stressed out about all of this. So may God give us all grace. I'm going to go into this same space next Sunday. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the profound unity that we have in Christ, which is much bigger than whether we're vaccinated or not.